The Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro. FM 100.5 Smyrna. And online at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Hey, good morning to you. Here we are, a day into spring, and everybody's just so excited about this, I tell you. And really excited with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service is Extension Agent Justin Stefanski. Hey, Justin.
Good morning, sir. Hey, I have a question. How do I bribe that ferry to get that banana pudding?
I tell you, that ferry doesn't do too well on bribes.
Oh, man. Slick Pig has it going on, though, I tell you what.
I tell you. It is mighty good.
Absolutely. I went to MTSU, so I was a frequent visitor of Slick Pig.
I tell you, I did also, and it still is just as phenomenal.
Best wings around. That's the free Slick Pig plug from me to this morning.
Well, as you look at some of the things happening in the community, what is the biggest question as you look at the phone calls coming in to the Ag Center? Is there any one particular question that seems to stand out?
Nothing that stands out in particular. I think the biggest thing that I see year-wide, though, is we have so many new residents to this area, especially into the Murfreesboro area, and they're just unfamiliar with what grows well here and where they're from, particularly the West Coast folks. You know, it's a totally different environment here. So it's a challenge for a lot of people coming here, dealing with our clay and our rocks, our beautiful Rutherford County Central Basin soils. So that seems to be a common theme, is what can I grow? Why are my plants dying? And unfortunately, they don't plant the right things.
So do they bring the old plants with them? Is that what they're doing?
Not necessarily, but they buy things that they may have grown out in other areas of the country, and they expect them to do well here. And unfortunately, there's a lot of things that we just cannot do well here.
Yeah, you're right. So don't try the old stuff. You got to try something new.
You got to do what works well here. That's exactly right.
And our zone seems to change as far as what zone are we in. Isn't it sort of changing?
It has changed over the years. So we've consistently been getting warmer. And the way they use the zone rating is the low nighttime or the low temps, basically the freezing temps. So our freezing temps have consistently been slightly higher over the last 30 years, so our zone has changed slightly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it hasn't changed a whole lot.
So what should we be planting now?
You know, right now, we're still too soon for garden vegetables. That's the one thing I always try to tell folks. You know, even though we may have a few weeks of warm, sunny weather, you know it as well as I do, Bart, that we're going to get a couple more freezes before the year is out.
Oh, yeah.
It's bound to happen, and people always jump the gun, and just because the tomato plants are for sale at the garden centers doesn't mean you need to buy them and put them in the garden. So for now, we can start thinking about prepping our gardens. You think about fertilizing your landscape trees and shrubs, pruning. This is the great time to do pruning, right as everything is breaking dormancy. Just cleaning up and getting ready, basically trimming back ornamental grasses, cutting back your perennials, and giving those plants some new space to grow for the coming season.
So if you wanted to plant something, say like an ornamental grass, you didn't have it, can you do that now?
You can still do it. You know, I think ornamental grasses are okay. Now, we're pushing it on planting trees and shrubs. You know, typically we recommend planting in the fall. And by fall, I mean September, October, November. Typically, those are the best months of the year to do that kind of stuff. Now, if you're growing things, if it's in a container, you can still plant things like trees and shrubs now. But our ball and burlap things, that you're risking that they don't have a chance to set roots before the heat of summer gets here.
Now, isn't there a day coming up that we're going to get some new saplings and stuff like that?
I know NRCS has done it, but we actually just had Tree Day over the weekend.
Oh, okay.
That was last Thursday.
I knew there was something.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday
of
last week.
Day late, dollar short.
Yeah, Tennessee Environmental Council, you can order trees, seedlings. Basically, they come in sizes from 12 inches to about 3 or 4 feet. And it's a big deal. You know, we're a distribution center here at the Rutherford County Extension Office there on Lane Agri Park. And it was a great couple days for us. We gave away a lot of trees.
I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Next year, you'll have to get on the jump early.
Here's a text from a listener. They said that they are members of our local library. They have a library card. And that they have heard that if you go over to the Technology Engagement Center, that they're giving out packages free of seeds.
This is true. This is not a rumor. I've been over there myself. They have a seed library, actually.
Seed library.
Yep. So
you don't check them out. You get to keep them.
No, you get to keep them. Yeah, there's no return policy whatsoever. But yeah, it's a great resource for the community. And I think as long as you have a library card, you can go down there. And I want to say it's over there by Patterson Park, I believe.
It is. It's on over by the fire hall there.
Yes, sir. Yes. So if you go in there, I've seen
Minerva
it myself.
Drive.
This is a real thing. It exists. They've got lots of seeds. So absolutely, go check that out if you got a library card.
And just anytime you want to.
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay.
Anytime they're open for business hours.
Is there any particular type of seed that seems... people don't seem to... most of the people I know plant plants. They don't start from the seeds.
You know, certain things will grow really well from seeds. You know, we think about some of our annual flowers like zinnias, for example. Now, you can buy zinnias at the store, obviously, as grown transplants. But, man, they do great if you just buy a bag of seed. And you've got to have the right soil conditions, though. I think that's the key. You know, you can grow anything from seed here. It's just a matter of prepping the soil. If you were just to throw it out on the rough, hard ground without giving it a little... amendment and getting that soil nice and light and fluffy, they're going to struggle. Other things, you know, marigolds, zinnias, and there's even garden vegetables that will do great from seed. And the rule of thumb on garden plants is the bigger the seed, the easier it is to direct sow. So we're talking things like beans. You ever looked at a bean seed in comparison to a tomato seed? They're very different in size. You know, tomatoes are finicky, peppers are finicky, but something like a bean, a squash, a cucumber, a gourd, those seeds are larger. So that means they have more carbohydrate for that seedling to eat up as it grows, and they're much easier to sow by direct seeding into the ground.
Now, what can you do with a gourd?
Other than
make a birdhouse.
Yeah. There are some edible gourds.
Oh, okay.
There's loofah. You know, loofah is a gourd. You can make those loofah sponges that you use for bathing.
Yeah.
I grew birdhouse gourds for the first time last year, and I don't know what I'm going to do with them all, honestly. I can't give them all away. So they produced, and they produced well.
Now, these sponges, the loofah sponges, those are the ones you bathe with are not from the sea. That was something.
Well, you can get those, too. There's actual sponges that you can buy from ocean sources.
But the
loofah is a type of gourd, and it's the internal structure. So basically, you take away the outer shell, and what's left is that spongy mass in the middle.
Now, how long will it last, or does it just...
I can't say. I don't think it's going to last very long. I mean, you might get, you know, a couple months of use out of it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It is pretty good, yeah. So if you want to have a free sponge, go for some loofah gourds for sure.
And that'll take the foliation off of your skin and all of that stuff.
It's a great way to rub some skin off for sure, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So that's another plus.
Absolutely.
What is it called?
It's a loofah gourd.
Loofah gourd.
Loofah gourd, yeah. Okay. But there's many different types of gourds. There's decorative gourds. There's one of my favorites is called an egg gourd. It literally is the shape and size of a chicken egg, and they produce prolifically. And they look really pretty on a trellis. You know, mix them in with some other vining plants, and they're just a neat thing for kids. You can make little ornaments out of them, dry them out. They're pretty cool.
Okay, and these are... Where do you get those seeds?
You know, big box stores, some of the local garden centers will carry them, but you can also go online. There's many seed companies. I hesitate to mention any one seed company in particular, but if you just do a little searching on the internet, there are many, many seed companies out there that you can buy these seeds at.
Okay. Now, one of the things that people have enjoyed, and I was over at the Ag Center the other day, and I thoroughly enjoyed seeing some of the garden plots that the Master Gardeners have put together. You can learn how to do butterfly gardens that also attract hummingbirds. You can do gardens that soak up the water, divert the water.
Rain gardens, yes. I'm glad you came out to visit us. Yeah, we have many demonstration gardens there at our office. We've got vegetable gardens that are starting to kick up. We've got butterfly gardens, pollinator gardens, herb gardens. We have two rain gardens now. So we really try to have a little bit of everything. And one of the things I will mention is the farmer's market's coming up. It starts on May 10th, so it'll be every Tuesday and Friday, but the first market day is May 10th. And at the farmer's market days, we will have master gardeners set up out at our demonstration areas to help give tours and answer questions, and we'll also be offering some classes in the garden this year as well. Every other Friday or every third Friday, we'll be offering some type of an educational class. So I encourage you to come out there, 315 John Rice Boulevard, Tuesdays and Fridays, starting May 10th, which is the Friday. Markets open from, let's just say, 8 to noon. Typically, people will get there a little earlier. And it's a great opportunity to buy some fresh produce, support your local farm community, and then come out and tour the gardens.
Now, you said the classes in the gardens. What days will those be?
So we have, it'll probably be every other Friday.
Okay.
So if you come out on a Friday, but any day that the market is open, we will have Master Gardeners out there to help answer your questions, give you a tour, and it's a great opportunity to learn from true experts. Our Master Gardeners are so knowledgeable here in Rutherford County.
Sounds like a winner to me.
Absolutely.
And that's all at the Lane Agri Park and the Farmers Market, which is an experience in itself.
Absolutely.
Starting May 10th, Tuesdays and Fridays. That's good information there. Here's a person who says, I know we're not supposed to plant grass right now, but I just moved in about 6 months ago, and our yard is a mess. In fact, it's a new house, and there's not much yard, but a whole lot of dirt. What can I do?
Well, you know, this is a common theme that we see a lot in Rutherford County, especially in new construction. So, you know, to try to plant cool season grasses like fescues or ryegrass, you know, it's the worst time of year to do it. So one of your options, and I think the first thing you need to try to do is prep your soil. You know, that hard compacted clay is not conducive for much of anything to grow. You could do a soil test, bring it to our office. It's $20. That's a good starting point. But also adding some good spongy organic matter to that soil. You can use peat moss. You can use topsoil. Prepping the ground basically to have some decent soil for roots to grow in. And then you could use a warm season grass such as Bermuda. Now, not everybody loves Bermuda because it runs and trails and it gets in your flower beds and in your gardens. But you want to talk about a tough grass that will grow in the summer. Bermuda grass is the way to go. And typically we sod it. It's very hard to seed it. You can either sprig it or sod it. And you do that typically late May, early June is a perfect time to do that.
Okay. What about the importance of a soil test? I guess you can do that anytime.
Any time of year, soil testing is fantastic. And what that does, you know, we get results to you, and it gives you the pH of the soil, which is very important. Then it gives you an analysis of your nutrients that are in the soil. And then the beauty of a UT soil test is that we give you a catered recommendation based on your analysis. So we tell you exactly what to add, how much to add, when to add it. So it takes all the guesswork out of it for you.
Okay, so that's, and how long does it take to get that back?
Typically about a week.
Okay, yeah. So what do they cost?
It's $20 if you bring it to us, and that's for the basic soil test. Yeah,
okay.
We take it to the lab weekly, and the lab is there in Nashville. It's a cool place. I used to work up the lab there in that same building. It's a neat place.
I had my soil tested several times, and it's really been beneficial. Because it spells out what you should be doing for the entire year.
For the whole year. That really is the beauty of it. You know, there's a lot of, you know, you can buy these little pH test kits. You can buy, you know, off-the-shelf soil kits. But they're not going to give you a yearly analysis based on your exact conditions. And it's going to tell you what to add, when to add it for the entire growing season. So it's very beneficial.
And then when you tell them, I want to grow this kind of grass, or I want to grow tomatoes, or I
exactly.
want to grow whatever, they will tell you what to
You got
add.
It. And that's the beauty of it. You can pick these crops. You can pick different codes to get a recommendation. And it's extremely helpful for anybody that has anything green growing in their yard, for sure.
All right. Here's a listener who says, we moved here from Georgia, and I love our peaches in Georgia. Can I grow them in Tennessee?
Well, the simple answer is yes. Now, can you grow them as well as you did in Georgia? That answer is no. Unfortunately, our soil types here are very different, and peaches love that sandy Georgia soil. And we don't have anything even nearly close, nothing that mimics that sandy Georgia soil. So they don't like our soil conditions, and also the disease and insect pressure here is through the roof. You know, I find that Kroger and Publix do a fine job of growing peaches. but you can grow them here. There's one peach contender is a great variety. You know, it's all about variety. So what I would encourage this individual to do, we have an awesome website. It's uthort.com. And on that website, we have links that there'll be a fruit page. You'll see a picture of a fruit link on the front page. And then there'll be every publication we have for peaches is on that website. And there'll be selection guides, management guides. I would encourage them to go to uthort.com. We just redesigned it. Fantastic website. And there is a multitude of resources there. But growing peaches here takes a lot of work. You got to spray regularly. You got to stay on top of it. But you've got to use varieties that can tolerate our clay soil here.
You know, I was just thinking, you were talking about the farmer's market starting May 10th, Tuesdays and Fridays. These are farmers who grow all of the things in the farmer's market.
Absolutely.
And they're local farmers.
Local farmers.
So they're in the same situation you're in. They have the same soil you have. If they don't sell it at the farmer's market, it's going to be hard to grow at your house.
You know what, Bart? That's an observation worth $1 million right there.
It just hit me. These are guys who know what they're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. If the professionals aren't selling it, odds of you being able to do it in your yard are slim to none.
Now, there's one thing that we have not touched on that I really find fascinating and great for people who are, and we're growing so quickly here. As you move into the area and you're looking for different plants to make your home look attractive, in addition to selling fruits and vegetables and things of that sort, they also sell plants at the farmer's market.
There are several vendors that have some excellent nursery stock and perennial flowers. And to me, you know, adding color to the landscape is key. You know, when you buy a new house here, unfortunately, you get the four green bushes in the front, the two on the corner of the garage. You might get a crepe myrtle if you're lucky. So there's not a whole lot of interest. There's no benefit really to our pollinators at all. And a lot of people love to attract, you know, butterflies and bees to their garden. And unfortunately, the contractor-grade plantings are just not beneficial to anything. So when you go to the farmer's market, there's three or four great plant sellers there, and you can really spruce up your landscape and make it more inviting for all natures of wildlife, for sure.
And again, if they can't grow it at their farm, you shouldn't probably have it at your
house. Excellent observation. I'm going to steal that one from you.
Okay. We're going to pause. Be right back. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. If you want to text a question to us, that's probably the easiest way to get through. 615-893-1450. That's our text number, 615-893-1450. But if you want to talk, maybe you're not a texter, talking is fine. We occasionally talk. The same number, 615-893-1450. Hang by your thumbs. We'll be right back.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. We have all the items needed to spoil your pet, toys, food, treats, and more. Whether you're a new pet parent or a very experienced one, you'll find the items and help you need here at Animal City. We are proud and thankful to be celebrating our 33rd year in the Murfreesboro community. That's Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro. Please check out our Facebook page.
Hi, this is Peter Demas. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant. So many people buy so many different things. You know, I go out to eat, and I like eating steak, where my wife will end up getting her salmon. Our salmon is cut fresh, so she loves her salmon. It's one of those places that you can go, you can get pastas or chicken. You know, the kids love it. Get what you want at Demas's Restaurant and not be limited just to one or two items. Join our family at Demas's Restaurant, 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Skies become mostly sunny this afternoon, a high in the upper 60s. Tonight, a slight chance for rain late, increasing clouds, a low near 49. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 43.
Tire World's annual at-cost tire sale is finally here. For 1 week only, all passenger and light truck tire brands will be sold at cost, plus an additional 20% off the installation. Want more? Okay. Get up to another $100 back by double-dipping with manufacturer rebates. The sale is short, but the savings are huge. That's because Tire World doesn't put discount in its name. It puts the discount in your pocket.
At Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
This morning, the WGNS Action Line broadcast is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. United Communications is MTE's internet company, serving homes and businesses throughout the mid-state area with super fast and 99.99% reliable fiber internet service. Find out more at mte.com/internet. United Communications. Fast, local, fiber.
We've got your local sports fix. Weekdays at 5, it's All Sports Talk with Monty Hale Jr. and Tim Tackett here on WGNS.
We are back having a party this morning. Justin Stefanski from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service is leading the fun today, and he's just getting started because we're going to touch on some things that you can attend, learn something, and make your home more attractive, and most important, have fun while you're doing it.
I always tell people, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right.
That's right. And everybody has fun when they go to the Ag Center.
We try our best.
Especially to the farmer's market.
Absolutely. I'm excited about the farmer's market.
I am too. You just know the warm weather is here, and I love warm weather. May 10th is when it starts.
May 10th, Friday, May 10th. Get there early. You know, typically, I think doors will open at 7, but typically we start seeing people 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Now, we have the Master Gardeners on the radio with us. But they will be there at every farmer's market.
Yes, sir. We'll have a presence there every Tuesday and Friday in the demonstration gardens. There's a pavilion there where they'll be set up to help answer questions, but also guide tours through the garden to greet you with a warm face and some knowledge. And then we'll be doing educational classes on Fridays, about every other Friday out there in the garden.
So it's a hands-on type.
Absolutely,
class.
Yeah. We'll be walking through the garden. We'll be highlighting certain things. For example, we'll be looking at tomatoes 1 week. We'll look at cucumbers next week, our trellises, our raised beds, different production methods. So it's going to be really educational for folks if you come out and see us.
We have a listener who's asking, when should I put out my hummingbird feeder? I love hummingbirds, but they don't always come to see me.
So probably I would say put them out at the beginning of April. That's probably when we're starting to see them migrate back up this far north. Now, I've seen pictures and reports that some people have already seen some hummingbirds. And, you know, I think there's hummingbirds that get very confused and come at, you know, times. But en masse, though, they'll start showing up probably those first few weeks in April.
Okay, so put it out. And then how often should you change the liquid?
Very often. You know, and the big mistake people make is they buy that red dye and they buy the pre-mixed stuff. Don't buy that. Use sugar water. One part sugar to three or four parts water. And don't fill it to the top, because hummingbirds will not be able to drink that quick enough before it starts to build up bacterial and fungal organisms. So probably every 3 or 4 days. And then every time you do that, make sure you wash that hummingbird feeder out with good, hot, soapy water. And then what I do before the season even starts is I'll sanitize all my feeders with a one-part bleach to nine-part water solution, soak it well, and then wash it out very thoroughly. You don't want any of that bleach residue in there, because if people can kill hummingbirds just as much as they can help them if they have unsanitary feeders. And if they leave that sugar water in there too long, it builds up very harmful bacteria and fungal pathogens.
Now, here's an interesting question from a listener. They say that they dug up their Easter lily last week just because they heard it was harmful possibly to their cat. And they're wondering, they said it was toxic to the cat. They are 4 inches tall and they will bloom this year. Should I always be concerned with my cat with this? Have you heard about that?
You know, I have. There's so many things that are toxic. If people saw the full list, they'd be shocked, alarmed, and they would get rid of most plants in their yard. But I think the reality of it is that your animals would have to eat such a high volume. You know, one of the great examples I use is poinsettias. You know, those are highly toxic, but your cat would have to sit there and just chow down like a cow all day long before that it would build up the toxicity level. So yes, they are toxic. Those Easter lilies can be toxic, but animals are also smart. You know, when they start chewing on things, typically they're going to recognize, hey, this is not good. And I don't say always that it's, you know, not an issue, but rarely are these things fatal.
So when you say they would have to eat a lot, you're talking about, what, 50, 60 plants? Or?
Yeah, something outrageous like that before that toxicity level would be a lethal dosage.
Okay, and that's probably, I can't imagine that happening.
Unless you have a very hungry cat that's really desperate for something to eat. Yeah, I can't say with 100% guarantee that something won't happen, but again, that the amount that animals would have to feed on is way more than what most people would even have in their home gardens.
So would she be doing better to put that Easter lily back in the ground?
I'd say so, yeah. I think it'll be okay.
Okay.
And just keep an eye on it. You know, if the cat starts gnawing on it and chewing on it, just shoo it away. But for the most part, you know, if they take a nibble of a leaf, it's not going to kill them outright.
Huh. Good deal. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. And you can talk or text, whichever you prefer. 615-893-1450. You have some more events coming up.
Yeah, we offer a great range of events. One thing I do want to mention, at the Linebaugh Public Library here in Murfreesboro, Master Gardeners are hosting Saturday educational classes from 9 to 10 every week. And we've got classes scheduled starting. They started in March, and they'll run all the way through November. We got one coming up this Saturday on vegetables and gardening. And then the next week is composting. And then April 6th is propagation. So we've got a full schedule there. So I encourage people to check out the public Linebaugh Library website. But you also check out our website, rutherford.tennessee.edu. Or you can call our office for the full schedule. But that's the Linebaugh Public Library upstairs. We'll do educational programs. And it's Max Miller's one of our master gardeners that took over for it this year. And really appreciate him doing that. And he's had a great time doing it. So those are a great opportunity.
Again, when are those classes at Linebaugh?
It's Saturday mornings from 9 to 10.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we have another opportunity coming up on April 23rd at 6 p.m. One of our agents in the office, Mr. Mitchell Moat, who's a regular on this show, he will be offering a class called Why Did My Plant Die? Which I think is absolutely
<That's>
fantastic.
Why
and
did
this is going to focus on landscape plants. And it's a free class. You just need to register on our website. Again, that's rutherford.tennessee.edu. Or they can call our office, 615-898-7710. Tell them you want to sign up for that class. Why Did My Plant Die? 6 p.m., April 23rd, free of charge. Show up and figure out why your plants are dying.
Why did it die? The question of the day.
That's right. And then we have one big one coming up. This is June 1st. Put it on your calendar now. It's a Saturday morning. We're calling it the Garden Extravaganza. And what we'll be doing is we will have tours of all our demonstration gardens. We're talking vineyard, turf, trees, shrubs, vegetable plants, butterfly garden, rain garden. So that'll be morning tours. In the afternoon, we'll have educational sessions. Again, this is free of charge. Come out. It should be a good day. June 1st, it won't be so hot yet. Hopefully, fingers crossed. But again, this is going to be hosted by Rutherford County Extension and the Master Gardener Program. So we'll have a big crowd there to help guide these tours. And it's the first time we're doing it, but I think it's going to be a big hit.
June 1st.
That's a Saturday. We'll start about 9 o'clock, and it'll run, you know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon if you want to stay for the whole thing. But morning tours will start, you know, around 9:30-ish, 9 o'clock, and then we'll have some educational sessions after that.
Okay, you seem to attract some unusual questions.
Oh, great. I'm nervous.
Here's a person who has some sheep.
Oh.
I don't recall any sheep questions before.
This is a new one for me.
The sheep ate all of the bark off of my apple tree.
Okay.
Is there anything I can do to keep the sheep off of my apple tree?
You know, you can use some T-posts and get some chicken wire fencing around it. It's just exclusion is what we would call it.
Would they eat the bark off of an apple tree?
They're like goats in a lot of ways. They're going to eat what's available to them, and it's soft, and it's got moisture in it. And sometimes they just... I can't say specifically why, but just think what a goat will do. You know, they're in that small ruminant family there. But using, you know, use 3 T-posts, create a little wire perimeter around those apple trees if it's possible. I don't recommend spraying or putting anything on the trees to make it less appetizing, but just exclude the sheep from being able to access those trees would be my best solution for you.
All righty, let's go to the phone. You're on the air with Justin. How are you today? Well, let's see, I say that, but they hung up on us.
Uh-oh.
I think we scared them. I tell you what we'll do. When we answer the phone, I don't pick it up and say, hi there, how are you? I just put it on hold, and then we go directly to you. We don't screen the calls, but so when that happens, we didn't hang up on you. I think people sometimes think that. They're expecting somebody to answer.
Immediately,
we just put you on hold and call us back, and we will help you out. 615-893-1450. Here's another person there concerned, too, with the Easter lily situation. And they're thinking, when will my Easter lily bloom, and should I... obviously, I shouldn't worry too much about it after what you said, it sounds like.
Yeah, it'll be blooming sometime in, April, May time frame. Yeah.
Okay.
And I wouldn't worry too much. Again, I can't say 100%. You know, don't quote me on anything, but I don't think it's going to be a huge risk to your pets.
Okay. 615-893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. When should I start thinking about planting tomatoes?
So typically we say after the last frost date. Now that's variable. If you've lived
That's really variable.
Yeah, if you've lived in Tennessee for more than in 1 year, you know our springs are unpredictable, but you know, to me, May 1st is the safest bet. You know, I've never seen a frost after May 1st. Now, people will jump the gun. They'll plant them in early April, and they're playing with fire there, or frost in this case. You know, they plant them April 15th. You'll see a lot of people say April 15th. Well, you know it as well as I do that we could see a late April freeze. So May 1st is the safe bet.
Okay. And so May 1st.
May 1st, you
do they all grow equally well, all varieties of tomatoes?
No.
Okay.
Again, I really encourage you to go to uthort.com, and on there you'll see a picture of a tomato on the homepage. Click that tomato or click the link below it, and on there we have every vegetable plant listed, and you can go in there and look at varietal information. There's also the home garden variety trials that UT offers every year. So at the bottom of that website, there's a link called Home Garden Variety Trial. And what they do is they send seeds out, and you can become a citizen scientist. Basically, UT trials certain varieties every year. And they'll give you two or three of each vegetable plant. If they have stock left, you can order it. They send it to you, and then they have a report system that these individuals can report. How well did it do? Did it produce well? What was the yield? What disease issues did you notice? And then every year they compile a home garden variety trial report that gives a full analysis of these varieties. But not all tomato plants are created equal. And one of the things I always tell people, you know, heirloom tomatoes are delicious. My favorite one is Cherokee Purple. But they have no disease resistance whatsoever because they're an heirloom. They're an old-fashioned variety, whereas these newer hybrids, they've been hybridized to have genetic resistance. That's the whole reason. So they're going to be less susceptible to diseases like Fusarium, Verticillium, early blight. And unfortunately, here in Tennessee, we have many, many diseases because it's hot and it's humid. And unfortunately, those conditions just breed, you know, garden diseases. So not all tomatoes are created equal, but I encourage you to check out that home garden variety trial report and also the tomato link on that UT Hort site. We have excellent publications that list just about every variety you can find in the garden center and gives you a full detail of what they're resistant to, how they grow. You know, the people don't realize too, there's indeterminate and determinate tomatoes, which means that some will stay short and stocky and some will just keep on growing indefinitely. So if you grow an indeterminate variety, you better have the space for it because they'll just keep on vining out and growing like crazy.
You mean the whole season?
The whole season from the time
you plant. Do they come back the next year?
Some will reseed, but they don't come back from roots. They only come back from seed.
Okay. You know, we used to have people who almost got into fights about, this is my favorite tomato,
yeah,
and I'm going to put this out. But I think that was quite a few years ago.
Oh, I still see a little bit of it.
Okay.
Trust me.
Well, when did we start, when did the heirlooms, which were not too strong against some of the diseases, when were they in their heydays when they didn't have to worry about those diseases? How long ago was that?
I think they always had to worry about those diseases. We just didn't have a better option. So there was nothing to compare it to, basically. So this was, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and about the 70s and 80s and 90s, this is when the hybrids, we call them F1 hybrids, really took off. Advances in science allowed us to make advances in the varietal resistance to certain things, and that's when the heirlooms kind of took a back seat. But people are loyal to these heirlooms, myself included. You know, I'm stubborn. I want to put a Cherokee Purple in my garden every year because, my goodness, you slice that thing up and you put a BLT with a Cherokee Purple tomato.
Yeah.
My goodness gracious, it's delicious. So
my aunt used to make me tomato and cucumber sandwiches.
Mm.
Put a little mayonnaise on it and a little vinegar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was
delicious.
It was delicious. A little pepper.
And that's the one drawback. A lot of these new hybrids have been developed for shipping purposes,
mm-hmm,
which means they have a thick skin and they hold moisture. Flavor is not one of the things that they developed it for. So heirlooms are still great to eat, but they are more susceptible to diseases.
I have another question from a listener. This one says, we put in one of those unique new devices that can measure pollen in the air, and we know quickly when we have pollen problems. It's called our sun, and he starts sneezing.
I was thinking to myself, I'm not aware of any device like this. I really am going to sound stupid when I try to say something here.
Now, what? I think what they're asking, funny. They're wondering, what can they do to reduce problems? They've heard people say, eat honey, eat honey.
Yeah.
And then they're sort of confused because they mention here, they've heard people say from the region.
Yep.
They've heard people say from your county. And then some people claim, well, it needs to be within a block or two of where you.
No, I'd
so
say
what
if
is
it's,
it?
Let's just say if it's in 100 or 200 mile radius
really?
Of here, you know, most pollinating plants will be the same. The key, though, is there's two honey seasons. We have a spring harvest of honey.
Nobody's ever said that.
So we have spring honey and fall honey. Now, how do you tell the difference? Spring honey is going to be lighter in color. Now, I'm not an expert by any means. I am a beekeeper, but I'm pretty much a novice. So if we have any apiarists out there or true beekeepers, they might call in and say, hey, you're wrong. But on average, spring honey will be lighter in color because of what they're foraging on. You think white clover is blooming in the spring of the year. So the honey color is a translation of the pollen that they're feeding on versus our late summer pollens are darker yellow, richer in color. You got your goldenrods, your ironweeds, things like that. So trying to get local honey but knowing what season it came from is really important. So if you have really bad spring allergies, you would want to get honey from a local beekeeper that was a spring harvested honey.
Interesting. Okay.
And I can attest to it. It does have an effect.
So if your beekeepers in your neighborhood or wherever they are, if they harvested in the spring, when is that? Have they harvested
yet? Not
yet.
It'll be probably around May. Typically it's in May. May or June typically is when they'll harvest spring honey.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I've seen also different types. Some of the honey says this has, I don't know, some kind of grass in it or something.
Infused with lemongrass or something like that.
Or maybe that's what's in the neighborhood. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it'll tell you what they've been foraging on, yeah. But typically, as long as it's a spring honey, those bees are hitting every plant that's blooming in that spring area, basically. So that's where you're getting, it's basically like inoculating yourself with small doses of that pollen, and you're building up a resistance to it is the simplest way you can describe it.
So how much do you need to eat to make it work?
Spoonful a day.
Every day?
Yep. Spoonful a day. And there's worse things in life, right?
I like honey myself.
I put it in my coffee every morning. A little cinnamon. It's delicious.
I tell you. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. He has your answers. Justin Stefanski is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. We will return. That is a promise.
Spend your middays with us, Rick and Bubba. We're on WGNS each weekday from noon till 2 on News Radio WGNS.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all your clothing, gift, pets, any needs that you have for your lawn or garden. And also, don't forget anything you need for your farm. Please come visit us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op.
Where are you located?
985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Do you have to be a member to shop here?
You don't have to be a member with us to shop.
The Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church.
Tire World's annual at-cost tire sale is finally here. For 1 week only, all passenger and light truck tire brands will be sold at cost, plus an additional 20% off the installation. Want more? Okay. Get up to another $100 back by double-dipping with manufacturer rebates. The sale is short, but the savings are huge. That's because Tire World doesn't put discount in its name. It puts the discount in your pocket.
At Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Skies become mostly sunny this afternoon, a high in the upper 60s. Tonight, a slight chance for rain late, increasing clouds, a low near 49. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS.
Currently, it's 43.
If you're looking for an authentic relationship with financial experts who genuinely care about your unique needs, Capstar Bank is for you. Capstar Bank is dedicated to the people of this community. Capstar Bank wants to help you reach your financial goals. Because at Capstar Bank, you matter to us. Capstar Bank, 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, capstarbank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Atlanta Braves are on FM 101.9 and AM 1450, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, Smyrna. I'm Ben Ingram. Your home of the Braves is WGNS.
We are back. The party continues, but it's in the final segment. We have only a few minutes left, so if you have a question, get it to us quickly. The big question, funny noises in the middle of the night and all through the day. Chirping sounds. What is it?
So, unless you've lived in a cave and weren't aware, we are going to have a cicada emergence this year. For all you new residents that are not familiar with cicadas, I'm telling you right now, don't plan a wedding in June outdoors because you're going to be sorry that you did. But the 13-year cicada emergence is happening. So,
is this worse than other places? I mean, no. I remember the last one we had was really weird.
You know, it's not necessarily worse. It's just it's not consistent across the board. So, you know, our emergence in Rutherford County is not the same as, let's say, Giles County. You know, it really does depend specifically where you're at. And in certain areas of the country, there's places in Illinois and I think Indiana, they're having the 17 and 13 year emergence that are going to coincide this year. But that is not the case here. We've seen a lot of news reports saying double emergence of cicadas, trillions of cicadas emerging. That is not going to happen here in Rutherford County. So rest assured, we're just seeing one emergence, but it'll still be noisy. Now, will this cicada emergence cause problems? Typically, no. If you're a 12-year-old boy with a BB gun, you're going to have the time of your life, as I did in 1997. It was fantastic, but it's not going to cause huge issues. You know, mature trees will be fine. It's more a threat to younger, tender trees that are first-year trees, first- or second-year trees. You know, the cicada female will make incisions in the small tips of branches to lay her eggs. And what happens is those branches will snap off and hit the ground, and then the eggs will emerge. And then the grub form of that immature cicada will sit in the ground for 13 or 17 years. So for young trees, it's a little bit of an issue. But just think of it as nature's pruners. It shouldn't kill any trees outright, but it will be one heck of a noisy May and June. I'll tell you that right now.
So they won't hurt you or anything.
They won't hurt you. They will not hurt you. I've seen people that they eat them. They roast them. They fry them. I just don't think I would want to try a cicada. But you know, now pets. There it is. Yep.
And that's quiet.
That's very quiet.
I mean, you can't talk sometimes.
Yeah, that's just a single one. So typically, if you were to be standing under a mature oak tree, let's say June 10th of this year, you can magnify that by 1,000.
Wow.
Or more.
Now, do they have germs or what are
no,
they?
No germs, no threat of any
what
viral.
What are they for?
Yeah, that's a real good question.
I mean, the cycle of life is
yeah, bad. Pretty much. You know, they are a grubbed insect. They live most of their life underground as a grub. And then the adult form is what we see that crawls up onto the trees and makes all that stinking racket. You know, the other mammals will devour them. You know, your dog will eat them. I remember we had a pet dog that she just would eat them up by the mouthful. They can cause some sickness if your dog just eats too many of them, but there's no threat to pets, animals, or humans whatsoever.
Okay, sort of like the lily, Easter lily.
Exactly. You'd have to eat a whole lot, and mainly it's just going to cause a bellyache.
Okay. When will they be singing their song?
June will be worst. You know, late May, early June, yeah.
June will be worst.
June will be the worst month of the year. I'm telling you right now, if you plan an outside wedding in June, I am really sorry. It's going to be noisy. Get a loudspeaker.
Here's a follow-up question. This person says, I remember the cicadas. Speaking of bugs, I've always wanted to see is it the lightning bugs that do their mating
the
dance?
Synchronized
in Gatlinburg.
Yep,
or
up there,
Smoky Mountains.
Somewhere up there in Upper East Tennessee.
I think this person brought that up. I think it's Cades Cove, though.
I think you're right. Yep, and you have to,
I think you have to get a...
there's a lottery for
yeah.
it. Yeah, they don't just, because Cades Cove is a tight, congested area if you've ever been up there, so they don't want
half
of...
How do you
of,
get one? You go through the federal parks, I guess.
I think you have to go on their website, yeah, if you go on the National Park website there.
But if you can't get those, we'll get you in to hear the cicadas.
Oh, yeah, that's free of charge.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll have a front row seat, unfortunately for us.
Oh, boy. And people are eating the cicadas?
Apparently, yep. I've seen they'll make little shish kebab cicada skewers.
Is this from a foreign country?
No, that's here. Somebody came up with that. Yeah. I remember it in 2011, the last emergence. People were, you know, trying to cook them up in many different ways. Wow. And, you know, insects are a common food staple in a lot of other countries. You know, we are the exception, I think. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that we are. Let's just put it that way.
Chocolate? Would they put chocolate on them?
I've seen them chocolate dipped. I've seen them spiced up with cayenne and garlic. And, you know, there's many different ways to eat a bug, but I'm just going to go ahead and say no to all of them.
Well, I tell you, you never heard that on another show except this one. Good morning. You're on WGNS. Would you like a cicada sandwich? Did you say?
And I wondered if you had said anything about any new things that come out to do moles. The moles have just taken over my yards.
What about moles?
Moles. We get this question quite often that the best remedy for moles is to use traps.
Traps?
There are some traps. They go in the ground, and they're pincer-type traps.
Where do you get those?
Lowe's, Home Depot, Hooper, Dickens may even carry them. And basically what you do is you set them in an active run. So the key there is to, when you see one of their tunnels or their runs that they pushed up dirt, you want to do a little test. Mm-hmm. You want to either put your foot down on that mound and make sure that when you come back the next day that it's raised back up. So then you know that's an active mound, and these pincer traps basically go across the run. That's what we call it. And then they're trigger activated. When that mole crawls back through them, it pinches them, and then they basically get squeezed between
it. I mean, these must be huge moles, or they're more than one active, because they, I mean, like mounds, 3 or 4 inches tall, up and throw the dirt up and things like that. And
one mole can do a lot of tunneling per day. They're very territorial, so there's not, people always think I have, you know, 10, 15 moles. That's not the case. You know, you might have 2 or 3 per acre at the most.
Justin, we are flat out of time, and we thank you, ma'am, for calling. Justin Stefanski, our guest this morning on WGNS Murfreesboro. Thanks for talking about lawns and gardens.
My pleasure.